And I would like to turn relatively briefly, because this is a seminar topic in itself, to the question of mandatory reporting. We know that there is a government consultation exercise that has taken place. We know that at some stage the outcome of that will be published and a full debate is going to follow. For now and for today's purposes, I would just like to try to get an outline of people's views and a range of views on mandatory reporting. And again, we're not here to ask anybody to justify or to test their view, but simply to understand the range of responses that are available on this topic. Namita, could I perhaps turn to you first and the Survivors Trust and your view on mandatory reporting?
Survivors Trust supports mandatory reporting. We believe that because of various reasons, different professionals are not in a position sometimes when they get to know about something, don't report it. And also it's going back to the onus of children being able to disclose. It should be the responsibility of the professionals working with them to be able to report or to raise the issue, because in our experience, it does get reported. It's not that, it doesn't get reported. Of course, we all know that. But in a lot of instances where there are small information, it's not huge, and it doesn't get reported. It doesn't add up to the whole picture, and you might know a little bit, but the other person might know a little bit more, and it's adding up to the whole picture, and also bringing the onus back, not putting the onus on the children and young people, because it's very difficult for them to actually go to anybody and say, yes, this has happened and I want to go about, do something about it. It's about them saying something, a line or two lines, dropping very casually that something has happened, rather than actually, putting it in a way that we adults talk. So it's really important. It comes from that perspective. Yeah.
Thank you. John, if I could ask for NAIPAC's view on it as well.
Yes, thank you. NAIPAC put its name to the mandatory reporting call going back a few years now, I think, Survivors Trust and Tom Perry. I understand the complexities of the discussion. I understand the findings from the Australian experience. False allegations are sometimes made. I think, police forces around the world will be aware of that. I'm also aware of another criticism of it that comes from police who say, how do we enforce this? How can you, how can you prove that somebody knew something years ago and didn't say anything? There are all sorts of concerns around this. And that's really why I put the point about whistleblower protection. And I think the two are inseparable. So I don't know where the government's got to in its analysis of this suggestion, but I think that would be a helpful sort of add-on to the whole discussion. But really, I mean, what we want is a culture where where the abuse of children is not condoned or accepted in any way, and it's quite simple.
Sheila, I see you're anxious to raise a point.
Yeah, I think what we've got a fundamental problem with is information sharing, and where does information sharing and mandatory reporting and whistleblowing, what are the defining lines between all of those? What is it that we have in mandatory reporting against, and what is information sharing? And the information sharing is the fundamental problem, and I think if you had an inquiry, you have a serious case review, you have a piece of research, you go in and you do a health check, you go do a review, HMIC, all of those that you can almost guarantee in most places that one of the fundamental problems will be information sharing. And I don't believe that people don't share information. I believe they do share information. I believe they share information in a way that doesn't always make it onto somebody else's system. And that's the disconnect in a number of places. And I feel quite strongly that we have to start and repair that and make that system complete and comprehensive to know that whether we actually need to go down the route of other avenues and evaluate that.
David Ashcroft.
We have taken a view as an association that we don't support mandatory reporting because we think it is partly perceived as a magic bullet which doesn't solve the challenges that we've just heard about in terms of the contributions. And I think this question of getting a range of robust mechanisms for whistleblowing and raising concerns and tackling the culture as well as the protocols and policies around information sharing are actually where we need to address our attention. And we came to the conclusion after quite a wide consultation with our members that actually the proposals around mandatory reporting that were put forward were likely to be unhelpful in tackling those issues. So I agree with my colleagues, but we came to, as an association, a slightly different position in terms of the proposals that the Home Office put out. We wait yet, and it's another one of these issues which is floating somewhere in the ether while we're still trying to manage the consequences for children in practical terms.
Sheila, yes, please.
Just to build on that, I think David's absolutely right. I'd add one extension to that. Policies and procedures do need to reflect it, but actually people need the mechanism. They need the practical mechanism to share information. There is a small county that is doing some really good work around that, and I'm happy to share with you away from here. I wouldn't want to bring the scrutiny down on them without having that conversation. But they seem to have started a mechanism that helps them to share information that's accessible to everybody. And it's small nuggets of information which we know are the crucial bits to building the bigger picture. So we can write all the paper we want on policies and procedures unless people actually have the way of sharing it that is the same language as everybody else, then that's where we need to crack the nut, really.
I guess the conversation we're having on this and is just a really good articulation of the difficulties of this whole area and quite appropriate view, different and opposing views that people hold about it. And I guess the research, all that studies kind of vindicate those positions to some extent, because even in jurisdictions where mandatory reporting has been a function for a length of period, there is still no strong evidence one way or the other. So, therein lies the question. So organisationally, we didn't support mandatory reporting. I guess one of the things for us was we weren't clear that there was necessarily a strong enough evidence base on serious underreporting at the moment in any case. And I still think that is a major question. And the point that David said about, this cannot be the single, this isn't the golden bullet, it isn't absolutely going to be doing that. The duty to act, however, may have some merit, and that may be something that's worthy of some further consideration. I think Sheila's point about information sharing is really, really important in this. Often, and I think the experience that I have had from looking at serious case reviews and their equivalent in Wales is exactly that. Often it's the difficulties due to relatively simple thing like structural changes in organisations that create the difficulties of people making the referral that they think they're making, because things happen, things change. How a referral is received within the receiving authority may change. They may have a triage type system. Somebody thinks they're actually making a referral to a social worker, they're not. Unless there's that internal communication that's going on, then those are the kind of, they should be quite quick fix, but we know that they're not, and those are the areas that cause difficulty. So information sharing is such a massive issue in relation to this.
Lee, I think you want to come in here.
I think in terms of the report, I think it highlighted some of the concerns that we had at Rope Crisis around the infrastructure needed to make this work, and agree with the points that have been raised. From we took kind of our viewpoint really from Ireland, where their mandatory reporting had been brought in under a duty to act. And one of the things, a consequence of that, was the safe spaces reduced because of confidentiality issues, particularly for individuals contacting Red Crosses centres in Ireland. So we'd urge you to look at that kind of evidence when you're considering the position.